Today we continue on with our psalm per day, one psalm per day, under 10 minutes, and we'll be looking at Psalm 3 today. So if you have your Bible, open it to Psalm 3. I'll read through. Verse 1 says, "Lord, how have they increased who trouble me? Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, 'There is no help for him in God,' Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." Selah. So this psalm is unique in some ways, in that it's the first psalm that's actually called a Psalm of David. And we get that in the heading, or in the inscription at the top. You'll notice in your Bible, you should have it. In fact, I just say this, that many scholars believe that these inscriptions or headings of the Psalms are actually inspired. And, if, for example, the Dutch Bible, and I believe the German Bible also, actually have the headings as verse 1. So, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?" would actually be verse 2, for example, in the Dutch Bible. So, and it's the first time it's called a psalm, also in the psalm, in this heading. The first psalm that is actually called a psalm. And the other first in this psalm is that we get the word Selah, and we get that word three times. And essentially it means to pause, to think about it. It also secondarily can mean to lift up. So as we pause and meditate upon the verse that precedes it, then we lift up our heart to God in praise and thanksgiving. It was probably a musical notation. So this psalm was written by David, as the heading says, when he fled from his rebellious son Absalom. You know, many of the psalms that were written by David were written in times and periods in his life of great distress, great trouble. But on the other hand, we know that apart from his personal circumstances, they were inspired by the Spirit. It says that in 2 Samuel chapter 23, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, his word was in my tongue," David said, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And in the psalm, we get God's grace and God's government brought out, because God's grace towards David was this. When he had sinned earlier in his life with Bathsheba, the Lord had forgiven him. Nathan the prophet said, "Your sins are forgiven." But Nathan also said certain things now would happen, would come upon his house by way of judgment. That's God's government. And this is many years later. We see that Absalom rebels, and it was fulfillment of Nathan's word of judgment. And that those two principles are always true. We have forgiveness, we have our sins forgiven, we're on our way to heaven, but you know, God's principle remains true, that whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. God's loving hand of discipline doesn't undermine his covenant of grace with us at all, but on the other hand, we bear the fruit of what we have done in God's chastising government. So we see this with David here. Absalom has rebelled, has stolen the people's hearts. Now David flees the city. And he says in verse 1, "Lord, how are they that trouble increased? How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, 'There is no help for him in God,' Selah." Now we should pause, as the word says here, and think about it. David had sinned, but David was forgiven. Yet the enemies, his enemies, still charged him. Think when he crossed the Kidron Brook and went up the Mount of Olives, and he met the man Shimei, and Shimei cursed him and said, "Thou art a bloody man." And so the charge was brought against him. This is Satan, you know. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And we know that we have done things wrong, but we know the blood of Jesus has covered our sins, that we are forgiven, that we are in Christ, there's no condemnation. But yet, nevertheless, Satan will bring charges against believers. And some believers really struggle with this, and they struggle with assurance. But I would just say this about this point, is that, you know, everything that Satan tells God about us is true. But on the other hand, everything that Satan tells us about God is a lie. For God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we move on in the psalm, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." The Lord delivered David from his trouble on this occasion, as he did on many other occasions. If you just want to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 15, we get the occasion when the psalm was written, or shortly afterwards, probably that evening or the following morning. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over." That is, they passed over the brook Kidron. "The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up, his head covered as he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." And, you know, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus, he also crossed the brook Kedron, John chapter 18, verse 1. And he also went into the Mount of Olives, into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is at the foot of the Mount of Olives. But there's a big difference between the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, and David the king here. Because with David the king, here we have an obedient father fleeing a rebellious son and weeping as he went. And with the Lord Jesus, we see an obedient son going forth to do the will of his father on behalf of rebellious sinners. And we see here with David, he was rejected as king, but God allowed that to happen in his life because of his sins, as I've already mentioned. But with the Lord Jesus, he was rejected as the king. "Will I not have this man to reign over us?" But it was not for any sin of his. He was the sinless one. But it was for us that he bore this reproach. And so it says in verse 5, "I lay me down and slept. I awaked, and the Lord sustained me." You know, David had perfect peace in his circumstances because he committed his way to the Lord. It says in Philippians 4, "Be not anxious or careful for anything, but make your request known unto God. And the peace of God shall guard your heart," shall keep your heart, to garrison your heart. It's a military term. He will garrison our hearts with peace, even in the midst of deep difficulties. You know, Christians can pass through tremendously difficult circumstances. We're not exempt. Romans 8 is clear. We suffer with the rest of the world that's in travail and pain and groaning. We travail too, but we have the first fruits of the Spirit that tells us that we have the hope of glory. And I'm not going to mention anything about verse 6 and 7. And here we have some imprecatory prayers against the enemies of God. We'll speak about that more later when we come to some of the other psalms. But it concludes in verse 8. "Salvation belongs unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people." Salah. See, David is restored to his throne. Ultimately, we know the story. We know the history. So this is the message of the psalm, the sufficiency and faithfulness of God as Savior. Well, may the Lord bless you today, dear brother and sister in Christ, as we continue on in our meditation of the Psalms. So this is Brian Reynolds at Words of This Life.